A wise man once said, "You show your greatness by the hands you fold, not the hands you play." So I mean, I guess fold and live to fold again.
We zoom in on a hand of Gollum being played at the Yi Sodden Rubin. A crowd of city guards leaned over a table, playing against one Nephilim man.
Then again, you could just play every hand. I mean, you can't miss them all. Gollum is not a game in which the meek will inherit the earth. It has an element of risk, and that risk should be faced head on, I say. While you are considering what to do there, my mustachioed pal, let me tell you a little story from last night, boys. You see, I stayed up late here in this fine establishment. And while I was letting the wettest Reuben I have ever had work its way through my bowels, I was delightfully playing with my hero cards. I like to see what the next day might bring me. And you wouldn't believe it. I flipped three up. You know what? Here they are, right here. You wouldn't believe it. Look. Wait, no. You gotta put them together like this. Just, no, not like that. Hang on. Look at this. Nincompoops. That's you three fellas. Oh, and look, the middle one here even has a mustache like our dunce friend. I saw this and I was like, payday, baby! Now, look at me in the eyes. Are you gonna fold like the eunuch your mom thinks you are? Are you gonna go balls deep in this river card and see if there's any fish?
You think you're funny, music man? Flips the river card and Tal slaps down his straight flush winning hand.
Bam!
The guards notice an extra playing card on the table by Tal's tarot cards fallen out of his sleeve as he got out the horror cards.
Hey! That's a... What kind of bowl is this?
Ho! Well, hey, a wise man also once told me, avoid people with gold teeth who want to play cards.
He smiles a big grin with a twinkling gold tooth.
Especially ones with horns, you nincompoops.
Tal throws down a poof of smoke and does his flashy disappearance spell. He swipes the gold off the table and rolls behind the bar, swipes a whiskey bottle, and heads out a service door. He drunkenly makes his way to the docks and falls asleep in a boat. And we are in to episode 16. The last of the city guard had just fallen. Bash is also on the ground. A friendly fire incident from some inner radiance. And
Mel's looking for any opportunity to.
That's true. He killed your bird,
Bash,
and now
and things I
you're
love.
Downed.
I gave don't know warning.
How. He did.
I yelled for everyone to get out of the way.
Although Bash might have been far enough away, he didn't
warning.
Hear that because he was what 90.
I was in a flank.
I think we said he was 90 feet away.
Yeah.
I don't remember the warning. Spell, I'm gonna have to listen.
That
back
spell
well.
Goes forever.
Well, it might have just been to Alistar. I don't know.
Yeah.
it was to everybody.
It was definitely
it a player
to me.
Warning.
No recollection of this. Bash clearly didn't hear it.
It was a role-played warning.
He did.
To get out of the way.
He said, don't be too close to them. And then I said, but I kind of have to do damage. And he went, no, really.
That's when you know Jeff's serious.
Bash missed that memo.
Well, I don't think you were that close to him. You just happened to be in a straight line on the other side of
correct, Mel. Correct. I was like, did that hit me too?
It goes like 120 feet.
It did, yeah. Yes.
It was gross.
It was gross.
Awesomely gross. Okay.
All right, so you are in this Azarketti camp. This new creature approaches you, bard-looking feller.
You calling me a creature?
Well, I
and
mean,
one of your party is down. What do you guys do?
All right, Alistair is going to rush over to Bash, not knowing that he's stabilized, because why would he? To treat his wounds, he gets upon Bash, sees this massive, like, wound in his side where the burst hit him, blisters all around it, redness, kind of like singed skin, clothes, hair, all that fun stuff, and then proceeds to treat his wounds for the next however long. So, I believe when we pre-rolled this, I believe you got what, 20 some hit points back.
Yeah, this is the beginning of a session for those peeling back the curtain. Beginning of a session, so I'm going to grant you guys all full health. You had time to treat his wounds, right. Get everybody squared away, you know. So
yeah,
smash those bars up.
I assume Bash's, once he gets a few hit points under his belt, his eyes open.
Oh,
and exactly Alistair's just right. Working away at him. He's just like, hold still, Ranger. You'll be all right.
Bash tries to thank him with his eyes, but he is able to squeak out, thank you.
I've never seen so much mud on one human.
And I'm not a human.
Who are you?
Oh, well, I'm a musician, of course. Name's Tal, short for Tal Garai.
As Mel approaches,
what's your name, Sonny?
Tal can hear the clam screaming.
What? Hold on a second. What is that?
What are you talking about?
I hear it.
I like the Mel's to playing dumb about it. It's awesome.
Just like Gypsy.
What do you mean?
He's like, what do you mean?
It's going to work on someone.
No. I was going to say, I like that it's carried over from one compass possessor to the other.
Yeah.
It's like a trait, like jealous possession.
Ironically, the one person it would have worked on is that person in Otari that Clam threw a fireball at.
Yeah. Well, mimicked. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't throw it.
Amazing.
Just a taunt.
All right, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just loved the role play there, sorry.
No, I don't understand. I hear an old friend.
What old friend?
He puts his guitar down. He's looking all around.
What, you don't hear anything? I hear my friend. My friend Clam. Clam Barinsky Pavato. How do you not... He's a gnome, he's screaming.
Wait. How do you know Clam?
He's... You know Clam?
Yeah, he was part of our company.
Okay, I don't understand. Clam and I came to Otari, and he met with you?
Yeah, we met up in Otari, and that's where all this mess started.
Well, Clam and I were traveling together. And then we split up because I got a little wasted. What happens from time to time, you know. But my goal was to meet up with him again. I told him I'd meet him up in Otari, and somehow I got here. I still haven't figured that out. I don't even know where I am, actually. Just looking around. Like, there's a lot of trees. This is more trees than I'm used to.
Let's go back. You said you were traveling with Clam. How do you know him?
Clam and I, he took the boat from the Sanos Forest to Magnamar, which is where I'm from. And he watched me play my rock and roll. And we hit it off. I mean, Clam and I have a lot in common. We both seem to hate worshippers, and we love to party. He's a man of many passions. He loves his science, and I love my music, and we have a good time.
You sure you know him? He's a gnome, if you hadn't noticed.
I was trying to just troll you because you said he's a man of many whatevers.
He's a gnome of passion.
Yeah.
Well, I use the term man to cover gender.
Bash grabs his crotch and just shakes it at Tal.
And then I'm wiping all the mud that you just shook all over my guitar off.
Anyways, okay. Clam and I were traveling, and we came to Otari. Well, I said I got held up, and I told him I would meet him in Otari, and I got in a little trouble, like I tend to do. It's kind of my thing.
What kind of trouble?
Oh, well, I like nice things, and I like to steal from wealthy people.
By the way, as you're answering this question, Alistair's still working on Bash. He's just, like, arm deep and, like, stitching wounds. He's just covered in Bash's blood and sweat. He's just working away listening to this whole thing.
Ripping sleeves off for tourniquets.
Yeah.
And Tal's like, oh!
Well, I'm from the streets, Matt. I like to party. I like to have a good time. I like to live the fine luxury that those who tax us get to enjoy. And I just take what I want. And anyhow, Clam and I, we had similar vision, and I was interested in helping him with his passion. And anyway, I would love to find him if you know where he is.
You seem friend enough of Clam. We can let you know a little bit about what's going on here. While you were getting wasted in Otari, Clam found us, and we began this little adventure of ours. It started out with just innocently helping what we thought to be an old lady that ran a fishery, and it's turned into this mess with this compass. And Mel takes the compass out and shows Tal. And unfortunately, along the way, we've lost a few companions into this compass. I know that might sound crazy.
Well, hold on there. There's screams coming out of this box?
That's right.
There is, yes.
You can tell, not like your sense
just
of
radiating
location.
Out of there. But
you wouldn't believe what happens. Like, if you touch that liquid in that compass, you turn to liquid and immediately get sucked into it. I didn't believe it until I saw it for myself when Clam did it.
Bash grabs a leaf.
Was that little bastard trying to do it? Was that little bastard trying to do an experiment? I know how he is. He wanted to sample that, didn't he?
I would say he probably did. I wouldn't know for sure. But what he was actually doing was trying to waterboard a torture victim.
Oh, he does. Him and I have tortured a few souls.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I was going to say, actually, now that he's in there, I'm a little bit relieved because it was getting pretty dark.
Why? He's very good at torture. And I've shown him a few things that I've learned from my father and his buddies. But anyways, oh, jeez, where was I going with that? How do we find him?
Well, interesting you should ask. I was about to ask the same thing about my friend Tipsy, who's also in there.
Who is Tipsy?
He was one of their companions that set off with them at Otari. But he himself is also in the compass.
Now, I would love to know what happened in Otari that brought all you fine folk together.
I wouldn't call myself fine folk, but I'll take the compliment nonetheless.
Especially this one.
Well, he points to Bash.
Well, Alistair here didn't meet us until.
And I again
while I'm
off
working
my
on him, I'm just like wrist deep in Bash, and he's grabbing his crotch
and shaking
patching him up.
There's just mud flying everywhere.
He's totally ignoring him, Alistair.
Ranger, would you hold still? This isn't as easy as I make it look.
Okay. I release slowly.
Can we have this conversation away from the mudsicle?
Well, it's nice and close to the fire, so I can see what I'm doing.
Well, let's kind of start over a little bit. My name's Mel Killian, and the guy with the hole on the side, his name is Bash. We kind of got roped into this little adventure under a fish shack, or a fishery that, we thought was innocent enough, just helping out an old lady, and it's turned into this. We found the compass. And ever since then, we've just kind of been on the run. We don't really know who to trust and what's going on, and, you know.
Why would Clam be interested in helping a fish shack?
Well, I didn't really know Clam that well at that time, but you know how he's always trying to help gnomes and figure out what's keeping them from bleaching.
The fish lady was a gnome?
Yes.
Oh, shit. That's, I know, I do know how he is. Yes.
Though, we should have listened to Clam a little more because he was the only one that didn't trust her.
There's a gnome that Clam didn't trust.
Wait. Yeah. So you're telling me that Clam has always been this crazy about gnomes?
Well,
because he adopted a child.
No.
No. After killing his father.
No.
And only knowing him for approximately 40 minutes.
No, this, not his entire life.
Okay.
Probably, oh, I don't know, maybe 40 to 50 years ago, he started down this path. Maybe the last, I think he's been a wonder keeper for maybe 20 years.
No. What other?
So, hang on. So, it was a gnome that you were trying to help her, but how did you get a hold of such a device, and how did this become?
We were about to receive our payment for helping, and when that happened, she brought the compass out to show us, and she accidentally touched the water and was sucked into it. And that's when we picked up the compass and took it for ourselves because we didn't know what it was or what was going on, and we were trying to figure it out for ourselves as well. And that's when it seemed like every single person was after us at that point. Anyone in town, we went to libraries.
Why didn't you just ditch it? Why did you keep it?
It has this pull on you. I didn't have it at first. Tipsy had it.
This Tipsy character. Tell me more about this Tipsy.
He's always had sticky fingers.
Once he had
that
it for
little
a while.
Peckerpole has always had sticky fingers.
His last name is Peckerpole. That is a fantastic name.
Well, once he had it, he was not letting it go for anything. Finally consumed him.
What do you mean it consumed him?
One day we had finally made it to this island, and we were trekking through the woods, and he just took the compass out, was looking at it, and I don't know what went through his mind, but he touched the water and was sucked in as well. And that's when I picked it up.
I was going to say, presumably you feel the pull too. You're just better at resisting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just mark the players.
Okay. So one of your party, presumably of his own volition, decided to go into the compass, and now you have picked it up and are on the same course?
Yes.
Are you not worried for your future, my friend?
Oh, I am. I'm cautious. But we also...
You seem
stumbled.
Like chill as a cucumber.
Why, thank you.
He's always this way.
He's seen much worse.
Yeah. There's more, though. That's when we came across Alistar here, and I will say I didn't trust him at first. He kind of just came out of nowhere in the woods. What were we to expect? But he's proven himself time and time again in just the short time that I've known him. And I say that I trust him with my life now.
I hope that's true. He looks like the type that's usually chasing me down the streets.
Oh, he can hold his own for sure.
I probably have a couple times, because you ever been to Absalom?
No, I've spent my whole life in Magnamar until Clam got me out of my shell.
Okay. Well, if you'd ever come through there and caused trouble, I would have chased you down. I was part of the post guard of the East Gate.
Now that I'm loose, I can't wait to cause trouble everywhere. Let me tell you, trouble is so fun.
Well, I'm no longer in law enforcement, so that's not my problem anymore.
Alrighty.
I'm a gun for hire, for lack of better word.
As long as you don't mind fine clothes and a strong drink, we can be friends.
I've never been one to turn down a drink. I don't know about clothes, though. though. Certain words just
okay,
not quite
let's,
there yet.
Let's get back to the crux of the story here, fellas. So,
yeah. So
you're telling me we got two of your party into this compass, and we hear them now.
Yes.
And how are we moving forward? What is your plan?
Well, we happened upon a cave. and performed a ritual in there. And during this ritual, we saw that we might be able to bring those people back.
How did you find a ritual? And what kind of, this is a wizard's ritual?
That we're not clear about. We think it's a necromancer.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
A dark mage of some sort.
Oh, no.
We encountered some undead.
And you practiced it?
We encountered some undead in his lab, and that kind of tips us off in the direction of the arcane. Arcane.
Yeah, this ritual, it showed us exactly what island we need to go to.
Oh.
Not to mention the compass point there as well.
Yeah.
We think.
But it's not here. It's a different island.
No. And on that island is a site that has these stones arranged. And once we're there, we know how to do this ritual that supposedly will bring people back.
Mel, could you draw the arrangement of these stones for us?
Yes.
So that we can share in the knowledge.
Yeah, so I'd find a stick and I'd draw it on the ground and
okay.
In the dirt.
Bash, commit that to memory. See what he's doing. Kay. Bash nods.
Playing just my part.
He just nodded that time. Usually he goes bash nods.
You squeeze a nerve inside of him and just up and down.
I just moved his head up and down with my hand.
This is why we need video.
Yeah.
He literally won't even talk now.
No, I think I caught him by surprise. That's fair.
I was ready to say bash nods.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. So then just Mel like walks them through this drawing on the ground and how each stone at this this site needs to have a weight put on it, and then we need to mix water from the compass with Azarketti blood.
But how do we know that this is this ritual is even related to the compass?
Well, Mel saw it clear as day, according to him.
Yeah, that's the compass is what I saw when we were doing this ritual, and the vision was in my head, clear as day.
Yeah, a quick refresh.
We saw this.
The compass actually, like the weight of it pulled you to the floor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And that's where you noticed that the ritual markings were to start inspecting that.
Yeah, yeah. And then while watching the ritual, I saw the dark
Adam sick of us butchering his story.
No, you guys are nailing it.
No, this is good. This recaps
no,
us.
No, I know. I was just laughing at the interjection there because we were getting it wrong.
So you were
fair.
It's fair.
You were the only one. You were holding the compass, and you were the only one that got pulled to the floor.
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. So that kind of puts us on our current path. We're trying to get...
So we need a boat.
Clam out of this.
What you're telling me is we need a boat.
I believe we already have at least two boats.
Well, we just cleared out all the guards that took a boat here.
Well, that
leads me to another question. What in the hell was that spell? I'm a dabbler in magic myself. For me, I've never studied. I'm a street rat, but it comes to me naturally. But I would love to have a little of that sunburn power you got going on, my friend.
I'm not sure that's something you want to have in your repertoire.
Oh, absolutely, I do. Can you imagine those golem tables if I'm just like, sun, baby?
Well, you see, Mel here, he's a cleric. And that means devout worship of a god.
Oh, damn it! I was just starting to like you, my friend.
Yeah, my deity gives me certain powers that I can use from time to time.
Says Demon Spawn.
Yeah, you can call me Demon Spawn. I understand.
That wasn't Alistair. I never said that out loud.
Oh, I heard an asshole. Yeah. I didn't know where he was.
It was God speaking to you. It was a God speaking
somebody,
to you.
Somebody in that compass is talking dirty to me.
That was the whiskey talking, so it was definitely Caden Cullian.
Go ahead, Mel. Were you done? I can't remember now.
My deity grants me certain powers that I can use from time to time.
Now, do you have to continuously worship? What is the regimen for these powers?
Yeah, you have to show that you're a faithful servant, or you will start to lose them.
Like, is this like a 8-to-5 kind of job? Like, how much work are you putting into this shit? Because I get it for free. I don't understand what's going on here.
But you just said that you can't do what he did.
Well, that's true. But some things, I just kind of see them and I kind of try them out. And then, boom, I can do them.
But my God's not too rigid on his standards of worship.
What is he like? What's he into?
What gets him going? What jingles his rocks?
While this is going on, Bash just stands up and says, I come back. Okay.
Meaning right. Like you're back from the dead, basically?
No, no.
Uh-oh.
Bash is going to start walking towards the woods.
Okay. I should mention the sun is setting and, you know, dawn is closing in.
Is that man doing a walkabout?
We're never quite sure with him.
He kind of does his own thing.
Speaking of, Mel.
I'm looking around, making sure Bash is kind of out of earshot.
What's going on with the Mudman prophecies over there?
Tell me, what did Clam think of this fella?
Clam.
Because that would give me, I'd like to have a head start on the relationships here so I know where I stand.
Well, he didn't really care for him.
I could see that.
Look, Bash may not say a lot, but he holds his own.
I respect a good communicator, though.
Well, here's my question. He just does not speak. It's not just me.
It's more than that.
Right?
Is a mental issue?
No, I'm asking Mel. I believe his intelligence is just fine.
Are you sure? I've never seen so much mud in one's ears.
I think he was like raised by chickmunks or dolphins or something like that.
Okay. Did you say chipmunks and dolphins? What in the actual hell?
I'm trying to go deep into Bash's head right now.
And Tal would know.
All I can do is put together the few words that he has said.
More or less, I just wanted to know that it wasn't just me. That he's always like that.
No, he's always like that. Okay. I don't think I've gotten more than two words out of him.
I grew up in a slum in Absalom, and called the Puddle.
You grew up in a slum too?
Sure did.
Slum Brothers.
Came from nothing. We bump fists. And then I take the flat side of my cuckery and just tap your horn.
You do not understand how much I love that. I put my hand to my forehead and feel the vibration for a few seconds. Comes in from the horn.
You're a little flush.
Oh, yeah. A little flush.
Extra red.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I grew up in slums with orphans like me. And we had a few like that in the orphanage. And I took it upon myself to kind of take them under my wing and teach them a thing or two. You think Bash would be open to that sort of thing?
He might be.
I'll see what I can do. I happen to be one of the lucky ones that I don't know how I learned it, whether I was taught that by an older kid myself or what, but I just happen to know a little bit of learning.
So you think you can teach that old dog a new trick?
We'll see. I don't know. I'd like to be able to try at least.
You have a good heart, man. They could have used you at the special ed school in Magnemar.
I was running through possibilities there because I was like special ed schools in Galarian, is that a thing? And then I was trying to figure out like what I would respond with that if that was a thing, because I was trying to yes and I just ran out of stuff.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I kind of took a little too modern turn with that.
You're fine. You're fine. Totally fine. It's possible. It's definitely possible.
I do need him to communicate, because part of this ritual is needing Azarkedi blood, and there's none around. And when we were here on camp, he went off and followed them, and I'm wondering if some of the Azarkedi went to that special ritual place that they have.
Now back up there, Sonny. What is an Azarkedi?
Well, hold on. You'd probably know an Azarkedi, but you may not have met one, because they are fairly common.
I'm going to say they're uncommon.
Oh, okay.
I thought they were uncommon.
There's a whole settlement in Absalom of Azarkedi.
Well, I've only been to Magnemar.
Okay. Well,
and they don't exist.
That's what
there.
I'm saying. You might have heard of them through reputation.
Actually, I don't know if they exist. Do they exist in like big cities?
In our campaign,
when we first introduced them, I said you've heard of them and you've never seen one.
That's kind of what I was saying here, too.
Yeah. Okay.
So you would have heard of them, but maybe never seen one.
They're really rare.
Because you can pick an Azurketti as a player.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't think that even if I had heard of it, I would still ask, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, ultimately it's up to you. I'm just pointing out that they're not completely like unheard of in terms of like just having talked
okay.
about them.
Okay.
Well, the Azurketti inhabit this island. This camp that we're at right now was an Azurketti camp when we landed on this island.
Where are they?
And he's looking around.
We were kind of hoping that you could tell us that. You were here before we got here. Did you see anyone?
I have a question for the GM real quick. Do we see any signs like of a struggle, blood, bodies of Azurketti anywhere?
There are no bodies of Azurketti. It looks like you can't tell if the city guard established this camp or I messaged Jordan about this, Tal. When you guys came up to the Azurketti camp, it had looked freshly deserted.
Okay.
There may have been a fire still going or warm, but no sign of them.
Okay. So they may have seen him coming, basically. Okay. That's what I wondered, whether there was a struggle to force them out or whether that was...
But there's no signs of battle or anything that you could see.
So Tal saw that there was a camp here already.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify that real quick.
No, that's good.
So you asked me what again? Sorry.
If you saw the Azurketti.
Azurketti. And then I said this camp here was an Azurketti camp.
I gotcha. Like I said, I fell asleep on a random boat because I was drunk out of my mind and woke up and these fellas were wanting to throw me into the sea. And I was like, hey, why don't we just rock out instead? They let me stay, but it was barely friendly, let me tell you. They gave me like a lime and a stale bread. Got here and we found a deserted camp just like this. And you guys came out of the woods and I was getting ready to entertain them again.
Okay. This is me, the player, speaking. I guess Bash has gone off to do something. Do we want to jump to Bash and come back to us, or do you want to?
Yeah, we're gonna jump to Bash. Okay. I like it. And also, kick you guys out.
Oh. Okay.
Bash is off on his own.
We haven't done this in a while.
I know. I don't know how we'll signal you. Smoke signals.
We can't. The soundboard is blocking now.
Mark,
do you have an air horn?
Okay.
Yeah, got it. Yep.
The crew is refilling their drinks, taking this opportunity.
Sponsor the show, Starward. Starward. Old fashions and whiskey.
Please sponsor the show.
That'd be amazing. We need a soundboard.
All right, so Bash... sneaking off into the woods. Here's a conversation about him going on behind him. Doesn't pay any attention to it. Conversation gets quieter and quieter. What is Bash doing?
Bash, not known for many words, but has a lot of voices in his head often. So we will read the inner thoughts of Bash Madquant. So much violence. So much greed. They do not see what Bash see. So much power. Too much power. Is it enough? Will it ever be enough? Dragons have power. Bash know what power can do. Bash miss friends. Pure friends. Forest friends. And impure friends. Gnome friends. Do they know they're Bash friends? Bash can bring them back. Bash can bring them all back. Tipsy. Clam. Kaka. Kaka. Bash will find help. Where are Azurketti? They left tracks. Small tracks. Bash knows. Temple water. Worship water.
Bash leaves along this trail that he followed a few episodes back toward the Azurketti worship site.
Here, pure water, healing water. So Bash is kind of like creeping, following these tracks that he can find. He's following them towards this temple, and he kind of gets to the edge of the temple, and he peeks in there.
Well, as you get up to the temple, the entrance... So this temple is in a cave. Reminder to the listeners, temple is in a cave. And the entrance is flooded. Maybe it's tides, maybe it's floods, you don't know. But you can't just walk in there like you could the first time. But Bash does hear a low... Whether that's a snore or a growl, he can hear some sort of creature noise further down the shoreline. It's a rocky shoreline. This trail isn't easily found, and it wasn't found by the city guards because it's mostly rock. Bash, being an extremely good navigator, can follow this trail, followed the Ezrakeddy the first time, remembers exactly where it was. But, so hopping across these rocks, he notices there's a sound a little bit further down the beach, this rocky coast.
So Bash, being a chameleon gnome, you know, he's going to take just a little bit of time, and he's going to prepare himself. He's going to try to blend in more with the surroundings, just changing his skin color so he kind of blends in. And he's going to go towards the sound, like, very quietly. He knows an animal sound when he hears one, and he thinks he knows what this thing is, which is actually very interesting to him. So he is interested in getting closer to this thing to see... If it is aware of him or how close he can get to it. So he's going to follow the tracks, follow the sounds, and get as close as he can.
You're following the sound, not going into the Ezrakeddy worship site.
That's right.
You're not swimming through that cave.
I'm following the sounds that I hear. Okay. Absolutely.
Further down the shoreline. So Bash skipping from rock to rock. Little gnome jumps. Some of the jumps get a little bit further for him. Has to reach and grab on with his hands, pull himself up. One last time, pulls himself up, peeks his head around a corner, and he can see an inlet to a little cave area, and he sees what look to be sleeping creatures, breath in, breath out, that like scaly, oceany, reptilian skin. They seem to be about 4 or 5 of them. They're about the size of maybe a small alligator. So certainly bigger than Bash, but not monsters. Smaller than the ones he's seen previously. It appears to be maybe... You can see there are bones scattered about from, like, fish creatures that these creatures have eaten and disposed of. And it seems to be maybe a nest. Also, roll me a perception.
Perception
or nature?
We got a 17.
Okay, so Bash notices a couple different sizes of tracks. Obviously, you remember the creatures that you saw were bigger than the ones that you're seeing sleeping now, and the tracks that you see are even bigger than any creature you've seen so far.
Oh boy. Okay. So can Bash tell if these things are sleeping? You said they're sleeping?
Yes, Bash can tell they're sleeping.
Bash can tell they're sleeping, and he knows what these creatures are. And so Bash is going to keep following the larger tracks. Okay? He's going to try to creep his way past these sleeping things and either get a look in the cave or go to where the bigger tracks are leading.
Okay. So give me a stealth roll.
Okay.
To creep past the smaller creatures.
Oh, that is a 26.
The creatures snore to their heart's content. Right past them, getting darker and darker into this cave. Bash can barely see.
Bash does have low light vision.
Okay.
So
and still, again, can barely see.
Okay, okay.
He's losing the daylight. I remember it's evening
yeah,
as well.
Right.
So,
sure, it's getting dark.
Not only is it getting dark, but Bash is pretty deep in this cave now, a few hundred feet.
Okay.
Starts to hear another snoring noise. Can tell this one's much deeper.
Okay.
Deeper sound.
Bash's heart starts beating in his chest as he has come across dangerous animals before. He knows this one is quite dangerous, and so, you know, his heart's pounding, but he wants to get closer. He knows if he wants to help save his friends, he needs to be able to make this thing happen, right? So he really wants to get close to this beast and see if he can work with it like he has creatures his entire life. He wants this beast to trust him and help him and his companions out if possible. So Bash is getting as close as possible. Can he see the sleeping creature now?
Yes.
Okay, so he knows what it is. He knows this thing is sleeping. And so he's observing. He's kind of moving around. And what Bash wants to do, what he's done his whole life, is he's going to move up to the side of this huge beast, and he's going to put one hand on its side and just try to feel, match his breathing with its breathing.
Okay. Give me, I don't know whether to give me a nature roll or I would accept survival. I would accept similar. Diplomacy.
Oh, diplomacy it is then. Okay. Yeah, because no, I mean, he's an animal elocutionist.
Yeah,
he's
typically a human thing, like a humanoid thing, but I think in Bash's case, like diplomacy.
He specifically has it, and I don't know that we talked about this for like when we hit level 3 a while ago, but Bash took this thing that's literally called empathetic plea to make sure that he is not just trained in diplomacy, he is an expert in diplomacy. So that way animals know his voice specifically. Gotcha. So that's literally his trait. Like, we leveled up diplomacy.
Okay.
So he's good. So you want me to roll diplomacy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Roll me a diplomacy.
Okay. Oh, it's a 13. Oh, no.
So you rolled a 3.
I rolled a 3. Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay.
Okay, the creature snaps awake. And your hand ever so slowly reaches out. You can feel like you're a millimeter away from its scales, and then you make contact, rest your hand there. The creature snaps awake, rears its head at you, and goes,
Stay.
What does Bash do?
Bash uses the empathetic plea. So it's like...
Well, first... Oh. First.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to... Do another. I was giving you an opportunity to flee. If you're not gonna flee,
not fleeing.
Give me a basic reflex save.
Okay, basic reflex save. Cancel. Okay, I rolled a 10. Where are my reflexes? Why can't I find these? Sorry.
Oh, that'd be a 21.
21. My reflexes are 11. Okay, 21.
Okay, so the creature swings its tail at you. As it's waking up, it just like thrashes because it doesn't expect for there to be a creature there. You snuck up on it too well almost.
Okay.
It's going to thrash its tail at you. You'll take half this damage. I'm going to roll 3d6, half this damage.
Okay.
But because you succeeded the reflex save, I'm going to say you grabbed the tail. So you're still by the creature. Didn't throw you against the cavern wall or anything like that. Oh, I rolled on 3d6, I rolled 4. Damage.
4 total?
A 1, a 1, and a 2.
That's a dream come true.
Right. So you take 2 damage.
2? Oh, because I take half of
Yeah, because you succeeded.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay.
All right, so you're grabbed onto this thing's tail.
Grabbed onto the tail. And I'm still, like, I'm hanging on because I don't want to get hurt, but I'm also trying to calm this thing still, right? I am trying to be as gentle as possible. And talk to it. I'm an animal elocute, so I'm making noises like shh, 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 shh. I'm shushing it down.
It's clearly agitated. It's got this little creature grabbing on its tail. Okay, so give me a...
I can do nature. I can do more diplomacy.
Give me a...
I can do athletics, acrobatics.
Give me a nature this time.
Nature this time. Okay, okay, okay.
And the primal instincts have kicked in. Oh, you're rolling the metal one. The metal one was bad luck.
I know. I've been rolling metal. Oh, please, please be good. It's a 17.
17. Okay. It does not continue to thrash, but it's not... Let me say this. It's still thrashing, but you're not taking damage.
Okay.
It's still thrashing. It's still growling. Uh-huh. You fear the smaller creatures that you walked by have woken up now.
Okay.
And it's still...
Okay.
You have not calmed it down.
Okay. I have not calmed it down. Okay. So I am going to... So I release the tail.
Okay.
Okay. I release the tail. And I'm just going to start backing away, like, very slowly, kind of bowing my head like I'm submitting to this thing a little bit. Right? Like, backing away calmly, like, trying to show it that I mean it no harm, you know? I maybe even start to kneel and get even smaller than I am.
Okay, give me another nature roll.
Oh, come on, please, 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 please. 23?
23. Okay, it huffs. Lays its head back down as you walk backwards out of the cave.
Okay. Okay. Are the little creatures awake?
You turn around. All five of them are staring at you.
Okay. Okay. So Bash is good with animals, so he's going to pull out some of his rations from his pack. Okay. And kind of hold them in his hands, saying, like, look what I have here. Okay, and he's going to toss them in opposite directions. He moves very slowly to do this. He gets some rations out, and he kind of tosses the bits of his rations to the sides.
Okay, roll a survival.
<13.
laughs> All right, let's go. Let's go into this guy. Okay. The nearest one to you snaps at you with its jaws. Two of them go off to the side. Two are confused. The one right dead center looking at you as you toss snaps at your fingers. Oh, what's your AC?
20.
Okay. It snaps at your fingers, just barely misses.
Okay.
And then three of them are still looking at you.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I want to use this empathetic plea. I've got this for this reason. It says you're attacked by a creature that you haven't acted hostile towards. You must use this reaction before the creature rolls its attack. The way you cringe your puppy dog eyes you've been practicing elicits an empathetic response.
Okay.
Okay. So I attempt a diplomacy check against the attacker's will DC.
All right.
Okay, so I don't know what its will DC is, but I'm going to roll diplomacy here, which is an 18.
That's a success.
Okay, okay. So, yes, let me see. On a success. The creature takes a -2 circumstance penalty damage on its triggering strikes. Actually, -4. So it'll take a -4 circumstance penalty if it attempts to attack or strike me.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm going to start, like, backing away again, okay? I'm going to back away. I'm going to try to use the edge of the wall, and I'm attempting to kind of blend in with the forest a little more.
Okay. They don't lurch at you, but they start yapping.
Okay.
And from the back of the cave, you hear the giant Leviathan again. But you're past them now.
Uh-huh.
And you've observed them close enough. They They are slow. They're more aquatic creatures than they are land creatures. They can go on both. But you can tell by the way they're kind of waddling around. Again, like an alligator or a seal.
Sure.
Can move around on land, but it's not great on land.
Right.
So you've noticed you're a little more agile than these creatures.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to, once I get past them, I'm going to scout for the nearest tree to try to climb up the nearest tree. Okay, because I'm
so you're running out of the cave.
Yeah, I'm basically, if I'm past them, I'm running out of the cave and I'm trying to get to a tree.
So it's a rocky shoreside. The nearest tree is back at the Azarkedi camp.
No way. Okay.
So it's all rock, somewhat like cliff facey almost.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Jeez, I thought I was in the forest. Okay.
Just be above the cliff is a forest, but you probably couldn't get up there. The best way is back toward the Azarkedi camp.
Okay. Gosh. What do I want to do then? Okay. You know what? Bash is going to double down on this whole thing, okay? I take back everything I said. Bash, once he's past them, is going to go almost fully prone, like hands and knees, like arms out, just in a full submission pose to anything that's coming towards him, whether it's the little things or the big thing.
Okay.
Yep. Bash is just staying there.
All right. Roll me a survival.
If he gets curb stomped, he gets curb stomped. But he's going to double down on these leviathans. He really wants the mama. Oh, survival. Please, Lord. It's 25.
Oh, 25.
That was a good one for me.
Okay. The smaller creatures start going toward the meat that you threw on the ground. Right? It's meat.
Yeah. My rations. So whatever Bash would have, he's got meat. Obviously, he used to carry on birds, right? So like he's got meat. He's got dead things. He's got things for himself. So, yeah.
Okay, you lay flat on the ground, mm-hmm. and you can hear this Leviathan approach. Leans down and sniffs you.
Mm-hmm.
Sniffs again.
Mm-hmm. Bash is just breathing. He's steadied his breath. He's used to this. So he's like super calm. Still.
It's about to turn and walk away back toward its sleeping spot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you do?
Bash is going to really slowly try to get up to his hands and knees. Like super, super, super slow. I'm not playing dead. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I want it to know me and know that I'm not something to be feared.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole point. So I'm alive, I'm breathing, and I'm going to slowly get to my hands and knees while making eye contact with it. I want to look at its eyes so it can see inside my soul.
Okay.
No Bash's pure heart that he means no harm.
All right. Roll me one more diplomacy.
Please. Okay. Okay. It's time. It's time to fumble or live with the consequences. It's a 14.
It's a 14. The creature looks at you dead in the eyes and opens its mouth and snaps directly at your torso.
Oh no.
And crits.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want to know what that is?
Sure.
It's 4d6 plus 20. All right, so we got 31 total damage all day. And
oh no,
you are grabbed.
Okay, my like in its mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh man, Now, to be fair, it should have taken a minus four. But it crits anyway. Yeah, you rolled a 20.
I rolled a nat 20.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Okay, okay. Regardless. Okay. Oh, my gosh. So we're basically in turns here, but it's just me and this thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like whimper, and basically I just kind of flop back, right? Like I'm oozing blood.
Yes.
Just absolutely oozing at this point. And I'm just trying to whisper to this thing, stay calm, stay calm. So I'm trying not to struggle. I'm hoping it either just drops me or...
All right.
Yeah.
Give me one last diplomacy.
Please, you've given me so many chances. It's either going to snap me in half or put me down. Oh, please. It's a 17.
It's a 17.
I have a plus 10, and I can't roll double digits.
Oh, gosh. All right. It is going to... swallow you whole. Do you want to scream or something?
Yeah, sure. I'll scream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get the boys back in here.
Yeah, yeah. I'll scream.
All right. And we snap back to the Ezarketti camp where the three, Tal, Mel, and Alistair, are talking. And faintly in the distance, they hear a high-pitched, gurgled scream.
Did you fellas hear that?
And a low rumble of a Leviathan growl, and then another scream.
Oh, no.
That sounded like the mud man getting raped.
What if he did fail check so badly that that's what happened?
Okay, so the three of them haven't heard yet, but it's not super far off. What does the crew do?
I think we book it for the woods. I, Alistair, definitely, first thing he would do is book it for the woods.
Toward the noise?
Toward the noise, where that's coming from.
Okay, so the noise is actually coming from, like, down the shoreline.
Oh, I thought he said he's heading for the tree line.
He snuck off into the woods, but...
Okay,
actually,
well,
yeah.
Wherever we hear the noise coming from, that's where Alistair's...
Without saying anything to us, you just turn and run.
I think he would say, Ranger! And then just go.
What has happened here, my pale friend?
I don't know, but that did sound like Bash. I think we should go see what's going on.
I think I'm going to tune my guitar.
He sits down by the fire.
Jesus Christ.
Fair enough.
Thought he liked trouble. He lies.
Mel and Alistair run down to the shoreline. They can hear the noise, the Leviathan scream.
That was the Leviathan making that noise?
No, they could hear the Leviathan growl, rumble.
Gotcha.
And then you can hear Bash scream getting louder. It seems a little more muffled, though, each time. Even though you're getting closer, you're jumping from rock to rock. You turn your head, look into an out, like the recess of an outcropping, and it ends up being this cave mouth. Mm-hmm. And there are five small baby Leviathans all, like, yapping their jaws up at a giant full-grown Leviathan, one you haven't seen, bigger than any you've seen so far.
Even bigger than the one Mel saw?
Yes.
Okay.
Even bigger, and it's got Bash in its mouth.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
About ready.
He tried to dance with wolves, didn't he?
About ready to swallow him whole, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, my God. Fucking A.
Next time on the Rogue Mage Podcast.
I just look at him and I go, what?
I see blood stained through his
What
clothes.
Have you gotten yourself into, Ranger?
And then I stand up and I pee in his face.
Everybody just stands up and pees on me.
Religious beliefs? How are you still able to turn the power of the sun against your enemies? How is this Zahn Kuthan still favoring you?
Well, I found that you can deal a lot of pain, even just helping people.
Now, hang on there, Mudman. Before we go, I'm not done talking.
He has a name. You haven't earned the right to ridicule him yet.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I've dealt with mental illness and Magnemar many times.
By the way, Bash, letter A today. We're covering the letter A.
A.
I think this is where we fall off the rails right here. Start doing Hooked on Phonics.
Hooked on Phonics, working for
26 episodes later, and Bash is literate.